motherfuckers.
Oh, yes, everybody. This is the DFS Army Fantasy Football Show. I am Flex Matt. He is Brandon Adam, and we are here tonight to review and comment and rate about a very, very, very polarizing mock draft. Daniel Jeremiah dropped a little bit of some juice, Brandon, and he said he was going to. He said he was going to make a little bit of waves. And how are you doing tonight before we get on into this?
Good, man. Just jumped off the ice with my – I was doing a little coaching with my daughter this evening, and now I'm here doing this with you.
Oh, yes, Brandon. We're going to do it and do it well, my friend. So let's get into this. I got the mock draft pulled up here, and for the listeners – I will kind of talk about the mock draft, but as the viewers can see, I've got it pulled up here, but you know, the viewers might be able to see a little bit of this, but we'll talk it through. Number one, Chicago Bears, Caleb Williams. That one's easy. We know that's happening now. There's absolutely nothing that is going to be able to be done here. Caleb Williams is a Chicago Bear, will be a Bear for hopefully the rest of his career, turning around the franchise. Let's imagine that that's exactly what we'd like to see here. For fantasy relevance, Brandon, when at the very beginning of this, you thought, maybe he was a little overhyped. Maybe the pick was worth more for what you could get for it than to draft him. But now with the additions of Swift, Keenan Allen, I mean, you got to imagine that and potentially whatever else they pick here in the first round. They got
exactly
a pick here, Daniel Jeremiah says. But, you know, Caleb Williams, you know that we have been on him for a long time, long, long time. We've been talking about him, but you specifically love this guy. Caleb Williams to the Chicago Bears at one. No surprise there, right?
No, I feel like we need to start kind of understanding, and if we are predicting he's going to be a successful QB1 of this class, Caleb Williams, and for the last 3 years since he took over in Oklahoma, since he was been throwing the football in college football, we've been saying this guy is something different. Every single talent evaluator has said this guy is pure magician, a pure Houdini on the field. He can teleport himself from one side of the pocket to the other, that unlike anybody else. I mean, he's a mix between, you know, Russ inside the pocket, Kyler, and being able to reset his hips and be able to throw like an Aaron Rodgers and have a great base. And that is something that I've seen from him since his true freshman year. That has never changed. This guy has been one of the purest throwers of the football in college football since he stepped foot in Norman, Oklahoma, and absolutely unseated Spencer Rattler. And now he unseated Justin Fields and hasn't even gotten into the NFL yet. And what the Bears have done, this is literally the, if you have a number one pick, overall pick, and you're in a super flex league and you need the quarterback, this is the type of landing spot you want your 101 to go to. Usually it doesn't happen. Usually you get the Bryce Young version of the 101 team that gets this beautiful prize of a quarterback, and they get annihilated like what happened to Bryce Young last year. With Caleb, this is a completely different deal, man. We have a future Hall of Famer, Keenan Allen. This guy is the pro's pro. This guy has done it all besides going to the Super Bowl. And guess what? He is now a Chicago Bear, and that changes that whole complexion of what Caleb's ceiling can be now. With one weapon, yeah, there's some questions. Can Caleb create enough on the ground to be even more relevant like a Jaden Daniels? But with the fact that he's got these types of weapons and targets, my God, man, he's going to have the who's who of getting off a man press in the NFL. It's incredible. I'm so happy for him because I've been on – I'm a USC guy, but I've been following this kid since Oklahoma, and I think I've been waiting for his arrival, and this is awesome.
Yes. And Brandon, it seems like we should talk about the number he's going to wear now for because Keenan Allen done took his number, but we did a little bit of research. I believe his number shall be 18. I believe that.
There you go. That's a good one.
The number that he wore in high school, which mm-hmm. oh, and little tidbit here, Oli Fashanu, someone who will be selected in the first round here, was his offensive lineman in high school as well. So number yes. one, Chicago Bears, Caleb Williams. Real quick on Caleb Williams. I mean, at this point, I mean, I know we haven't seen him play and we really love CJ Stroud, but with the supporting cast around him that CJ doesn't yes. have, you know, 101 for CJ, are you needing to add any more to the Caleb side to grab CJ, knowing that we've seen it from CJ? Or does the supporting cast get enough there where just straight up Caleb for CJ with the upside that Caleb has? I mean, we can see it. I know it's rookie fever with a little bit of that, but
I get it. That's a good one though. That's a good one if you wanted to pivot, but you're probably going to have to add because Stroud has proven it. What he did last year was epic, and we were all over Stroud last year too as a group. Our channel was all over Stroud. And we did not want Bryce Young as the 101.
No.
That was argued against from the beginning with our squad that we run here. And with Caleb, it's a totally different deal, man. And it's a different kind of talent. He's special, man. I'm telling you, he's super smart. He's got it. He's a star potential, and this is what it's all about. And I'm actually curious. I would straight up value for value, man. I'm telling you, I would take him over guys like Lamar Jackson, guys like Justin Herbert right now. I would do that because I feel like his situation is just so much better. And it's just it can be a real boom here.
I mean, it says a lot that what we're saying is in order to acquire Caleb, you have to come to the table with a Lamar Jackson plus yes. trade. And Dynasty yep. Fantasy Football, Superflex, of course. Superflex.
Yes. But and that may be a hot takey now, but I guarantee you Caleb is 22 years old, and Lamar is a predominantly running quarterback that gets lit up sometimes and has gotten injured. So if I could pivot off of that injury risk and that offense that the Ravens run, and pivot over to what we see over here, I'm all in.
Yeah, that's crazy. So the reason why Daniel Jeremiah is so well respected in the industry is that when you speak here at number two for the Commanders, he goes Drake May, when it seems like a lot of the fantasy Twitter and a lot of the mock draft Twitter have Jaden Daniels going there. But when you see a guy like Daniel Jeremiah going Drake May number two, not only that, but it seems like a lot of the other old heads, and now Daniel's a young guy, but I mean, just a veteran of the NFL sphere. A lot of them also say Drake May is probably, you know, if you had gun to the head right now and had to pick one of the two guys, it seems like Drake May is going to slot in at number yep. two here. But with Daniel Jeremiah saying right here, his mock with trades goes Drake May number two to the Commanders means one, he's not hearing anything about them trading down, you know, because it seems like Drake May, I mean, you might be able to make a deal, get down, go JJ McCarthy. There's a lot of mix with JJ. There's a lot of stuff. So they would rather secure the pick in Drake May and not entertain anything, which I think is saying volumes about where the NFL might be on this yep. 1-2-3 here, or this combine pre-draft 1-2-3. Drake May at number two, Brandon, you know, without the rushing upside.
Yep.
And then we'll move on to pick three here. New England Patriots go ahead and just select Jaden Daniels right here at three. Without the rushing upside at two, Commanders fully delve into Drake May. Is there any way still going 1-2-3 like this with Jaden Daniels at the Patriots that you are selecting Drake May over Jaden Daniels in our rookie Superflex drafts?
Oh, dude, this is the nightmare scenario for Jaden Daniels. This is not what I wanted. I was hoping Jaden Daniels would be two, but because of this is the reality we're living in, I'm probably going to go with Drake May and pray that Cliff Kingsbury doesn't ruin this kid. There is no help for the New England Patriots right now for the offense, man. Like, we're going to be literally nothing but rookies on the offensive side of the ball. If Drake May's gone, I think honestly the Patriots trade out and actually trade away pick three and for whoever wants to get JJ McCarthy or Jaden Daniels. But I just don't see the scheme fit.
Jeremiah says right here under his written script for pick three, I'm sure the Patriots will receive lucrative offers for this pick, but at the end of the day, they need to address the most important position on field and could do so with the third overall selection. And we've been talking about this, Brandon, is that with number three, we see a route where the Patriots should and could trade back from three and end up somewhere else in the mix trying to fight for a QB down the road and just going with the easy selection and Marvin Harrison here. But we have all been talking about how their new one-year rental head coach, it seems that to bet on a guy and have it hit is the best route to continue job security in New England. So it seems like it has to be a QB here. They have to do it. If they trade down, you're going to hear about it for years and years and years. If these top three, four, five guys get picked and end up succeeding in the NFL and not for the Patriots, you're going to hear about it for years, Brandon. But here's where the draft gets a little crazy. It's a little hot right here. Okay. At number four. Now, I thought this was absolutely crazy. I think in no way the Cardinals trade down. Okay. Yeah. But in this mock, Daniel Jeremiah says that the Minnesota Vikings will come up to four with the Cardinals. So I can't see them just selecting both of the first round picks and that's it. Like, I can't see this trade being just those guys, Brandon. Yeah. Do you think if the Cardinals lost Marvin Harrison in this deal, that there has to be two more picks even coming back from this?
Oh, yeah. Like, if they trade out, they should be getting a ton of first-round capital. It's honestly... I think Kyler just needs a dominant X, and I hope the Cardinals just do that and go get Marvin and did not trade out. I actually can see – so with this world that we're living in here, with J.J. McCarthy's arrival at pick four, he would – you're going to love this, me saying this. He's going to be my new QB too.
That's where I was – you already got ahead of me because – This is where I was going to say it, two Commanders, Drake May, three Patriots, Jaden Daniels. If four Minnesota goes JJ McCarthy, how is he not QB two? I mean, Justin Jefferson.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Hawk. I mean, Aaron Jones that can pass catch out of the backfield. I mean, like that coaching staff knows how to deal with the quarterback position. I think quarterback above any other is situation for instant impact. If you want to see instant impact outside of what Cam Newton did. I think this is the best landing spot for a rookie quarterback there is. So if a JJ McCarthy ends up landing in Minnesota, he would be my new QB2 and I would have to eat some crow from you. And that's just the way it works. And it's just what it is. Like, I have to adjust to the market. And that's it. If that's the market, that's the market.
Well, Brandon, I'm going to let you sign off and sign back on to try to help your screen here.
But I'll be right back.
I will take this on myself. So what Brandon's really talking about is something that I have really came around on. And it wasn't really that difficult for me. To be honest, I have JJ McCarthy QB3 in this market here. You know, pre-combine, I had really tried my best to get Jaden Daniels as high up, or not Jaden, sorry, JJ McCarthy. I tried to my best to get him as high up into my top five as possible, but at first it was just really tough for me to do it. I had him at QB4. Yeah. I think you remember that I had him at QB4, but it was only because, you know, as you hear this NFL sphere, I mean, right now you're seeing it. Drake May, number two. So it was hard to argue what the NFL was saying, but as it's coming more and more down the pipe, you don't love the Commanders as a landing spot. You don't love the Patriots as a landing spot. And although I'm not totally in love with the Vikings landing spot as winning games, okay, just as far as winning games, because I still don't think they're ready to compete. But they put a guy like JJ McCarthy there. If JJ and JJ, just if the quadruple J's get along with each other, then Justin Jefferson re-signs his deal, he stays. You can see where they're going. You know, Hawk comes back. Okay, now off injury, now we're really chugging along, guys. If we can just continue this draft along and draft good defensive positional players, stack some depth on the line, and we'll go the veteran route on RBs, you know, whatever. You can see a land where in just a few short years, when JJ McCarthy's 23, you know, Sam Darnold's 26, by the way, okay, QB1 of the Minnesota Vikings until JJ McCarthy gets there, if that's what happens, okay?
Yeah.
Then I could see something really special coming out of this offense. An unstoppable trio. I mean, something that, you know, Patrick Mahomes is trying to build there, but Kelsey's going to be leaving here. And so Rashee Rice is now, you know, going to be that guy. If they could pick up a nice tight end down the road, then you can see something like that coming out of there. And I'm not saying that Patrick Mahomes and JJ McCarthy are the same guy. What I'm saying is that you see pure upside with JJ McCarthy.
Yes.
He can make all the throws, and I love this. Now, where I don't love it for is the Arizona Cardinals at 4.
Me too.
Daniel Jeremiah says the Cardinals are going to go ahead and get out of there, get out of the Marvin Harrison sweepstakes. Now, the comment he had made here was Cardinals trade down, bypassing chance at the first receiver off the board, but they address the position later in round one, and we'll see that. But is that good enough? We'll have to see.
It remains to be seen, right? Like, you're talking about you could draft the next Larry Fitzgerald to Arizona and pair Kyler Murray, an elite talent, a former number one overall pick that this guy needs some help here. All he has is Michael Wilson to throw to right now besides Trey McBride. Hollywood Brown went to the Chiefs. So it would be real. If I was the Cards, man, I would need such a huge return to get out of that and not draft Marvin.
100%. And so this is the crazy part. QB go 1, 2, 3, 4. Not something we have seen really, because it doesn't seem like Cardinals have had the opportunity to trade down and out. So there must have been something good there. But here's where the draft gets shaken up here at 5.
Yep. Here it is.
The New York Jets of all teams. This is the first time anybody has seen Marvin Harrison mock to the Jets. It is an absolute luxury pick for the Jets. They are going all in. They're going all in on a Super Bowl. They just like Daniel Jeremiah mentioned here, they went with a veteran QB, veteran offensive line, and they're stacking up. I mean, they know it. And not only that, they got to start winning games there. I mean, the juice around the team there last year was finally able to really get up. I mean, we saw it. We saw it was at a fever pitch. And then Aaron Rodgers goes down like the first play. And it's just the biggest deflation of fandom in all time. Now, Marvin Harrison joins Garrett Wilson. joins Aaron Rodgers, joins Breece Hall. Are you
Mike Williams?
Mike Williams? I forgot about Mike Williams there for a second. I mean, geez, you got to be thinking Super Bowl all the way with yeah. and with that defense. Now, they did lose Bryce Huff, but it's a team that I'm really thinking if this can pull off high end for the Jets yeah. here. Now, here's what I got to say, though. We love Marvin Harrison. No need to stay on this pick too much here, but Let me ask you this, Brandon. If Daniel yeah. Jeremiah is sniffing around the Jets coming to 5 for Marvin Harrison, exactly. why don't the Jets go to 10 or go to 3 for Marvin Harrison?
That might be the way they have to do it to go get him.
I mean, interdivisional trade, that's probably not going to happen, right? I mean, the Patriots aren't going to gift Marvin Harrison Jr., right? And then what? 2 first round picks just to watch the first round picks be the last pick in the first round at both years. They went to Super Bowl titles.
That, you know what though? That's still ammunition they can use to build out the base of their team. They are so far away, man. I'm serious. Like the Patriots are so far away from actually really competing in that division. So them giving away a couple, if the Jets, you know, acquiring those Jets picks would be huge for them no matter what. So that's what I'm saying. I don't think Jaden Daniels is the fit for the Patriots. I just don't see that happening. I can see them picking Marvin at 3. And if the Jets need it, then they got to go to 3 to get him.
I 3 or even 2. I mean, I can see the 3. Commanders going back. I can yeah. see the Commanders going back and then taking one look at it and saying, hey, maybe we're more okay with Penix. Mm-hmm. Maybe we are. You know, yeah. maybe we're okay with Bo Nix. You know, maybe they're okay with Spencer Rattler or something. I don't know. You know, yeah. and that's another thought to kind of take a look, but not in this mock draft, Daniel Jeremiah. Number 6 to the New York Giants, Malik Nabers comes right off the Ooh. Board there. Yep. Now, this is another way to look at this because Daniel Jeremiah is in the ears. He's in the ears. In fantasy draft, Twitter, mock draft, YouTube, it's Romo Dunze here. Romo Dunze, yep. Romo Dunze, Romo Dunze. I think it speaks volumes that Daniel Jeremiah says, nope, it's going to be Malik Nabers here. Yep. There's no trade here. There's no nothing here. Okay, New York Giants need this guy. You love Malik Nabers.
Yes.
You brought me on the train. I'm still not 100% on this train. Okay, I'm gonna mention that. I like Malik Nabers. I do. And I do think he is very complete, but he is not incredibly large. In my opinion, he is not Garrett Wilson. That, in my opinion,
he is Jamar Chase and with more explosion. like that's what I, sorry, man, I can't keep it.
No, but, that's okay. That's okay.
Like, we got for as we're looking at this for fantasy football purposes. So we have the really what this draft is telling us is the wide receiver value is going to be a little bit confusing to fit. I guarantee you, some people might take Nabers ahead of Marvin ahead of Marvin because of how many mouths are in New York for the New York Jets already. Malik Nabers is going to walk into 130 to 150 targets right away. Like, right away. And to be honest, since Daniel Jones is not that great of a quarterback, Nabers is a better fit for manufacturing touches, easy touches. So that makes a lot of sense to me over a Rome and Dunze. Rome is more of a downfield threat guy. I think Nabers is more of a guy that can take the rock from anywhere short and can finish it for you at will. And that's the kind of guy he is. And I think that would be a better fit for a quarterback that doesn't have too much confidence. So you can actually get him into some bubble screens, get him easy looks at Malik Nabers versus challenging teams down the field, especially when said player is going to be double teamed. Nabers will be double teamed because there's nobody else.
Well, or so, you don't have to run like you were just mentioning. He's good everywhere. So if
everywhere.
You intend to keep your money where your mouth is and on your draft, you have Jalen Hyatt, you have Wandale Robinson, yeah. You know, so you've got guys that are going to be sent downfield. You've got Darren Waller still. We don't know if he's retiring or not, but imagine you draft Malik Nabers and Darren Waller's back, you know, something back. Like
and
that.
Then, like you said, dude, you're right. He's going to be able to hit deep and open up the middle for Malik Nabers easily. But I'm just saying, for us fantasy people, who's getting the easy target volume? Who's walking into the most volume? Who's that out of the top three wide receivers? If this is the way it goes with Rome Odunze going to Chicago.
Oh, the listeners can't see that yet here, Brandon. but seven Joe Alt. We're going to speak about fantasy. So seven Joe Alt, we're not going to spend time on it. Eight Dallas Turner to the Falcons. No trades. That's chalk right there. But like you had just mentioned, Rome Odunze goes nine to the Chicago Bears. So there ends up your first three wide receiver picks with Marvin Harrison going to the Jets, Malik Nabers going to the Giants, and Rome Odunze going to the Bears. So with that, the conversation has to be had of Malik Nabers going fantasy football wide receiver number one. You're not contending with Garrett Wilson for four more years. You're not contending with whatever tight end that they decide to draft, or two or three down the next.
Or Breece Hall, Mike Breece. Will.
Yep, Mike Williams for just a year. I doubt he'll stay for more than a year at that rate. But Rome Odunze, Keenan Allen's going to be around for a couple years. DJ Moore's going to be around for a couple years. Swift for a couple years. So but before you see Rome Odunze, but here's the thing.
But
there's still value in these picks, because only is it just Marvin Harrison the name, or Rome Odunze the name, but could Rome Odunze become an absolute alpha in that offense? I can see it. I can see it happening, especially Caleb Williams, right? I mean, a guy that wants to be aggressive, challenge the ball downfield. Is DJ Moore the only downfield guy? No. Can all three of them go downfield and hoss you? Absolutely. It would be on paper, it would elevate every single offense that these guys went to. And geez, Rome Odunze, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, DJ DeAndre Moore, Swift. And Matt is an easy, you know, and then who knows? Maybe they go out and get another tight end. I mean, who knows? Dude, that offense all of a sudden looks incredible to me.
And that's why when this whole – I was laughing when this whole Justin Fields thing is, like, this is what – resetting your program like this and having those picks that they got from last year's trade, what they did last year set the Chicago Bears – on an intersection with actually competing for Super Bowls. And I think it's going to be within the next 3 years. Like,
they got the top corner in the league. I think
Caleb Williams has a higher ceiling than a Jordan Love. So, but we've seen Jordan Love, but Caleb has everything in front of him, especially if this is the way it lays out. And this is the reality we live in. I would seriously, Garrett Wilson and Marvin Harrison eating into each other is so terrible for fantasy football. Oh my God. That would be so bad. I don't know. Like, I would be very nervous if that's, because I want Marvin Harrison in the worst way. If I have the 102, I just hope it's for Arizona. But
so here's a little bit of craziness. At 10, the Chargers, right? They traded back with the Jets there. So they get Talise Fuaga going right tackle. They already got a good left tackle. That's the right play. They trade out. They get whatever they got. For you got to imagine it's the dream scenario for the Chargers that the Vikings trade to four, because Marvin Harrison, I mean, you weren't going to have Marvin Harrison as your value. It was going to be J.J. McCarthy. And I think at five, J.J. McCarthy, the value is dipped a little bit rather than what he would be at four, because you'd have to imagine that you know that someone's going to trade with the Chargers. You absolutely know that. So now you know if you aren't going to make a deal with the Chargers, you have to come up to four, or you have to come up somewhere else. So I just think that's a good one there. Jared Verse goes to the Cardinals. I'm going to hate that because I want Verse to the Seahawks.
Verse to Seahawks would be great.
Jeez, but here we go. This is a head scratcher here. And here's the thing. Daniel Jeremiah says this. Not anybody stupid, but Brock Bowers to the Denver Broncos.
Ugh.
You got to hate that, don't you?
I don't, but he's going to the coach that made Jimmy Graham into a sensation his rookie year. So he is going to a coach that has some ability. He has the ability to scheme open the tight end and build an offense around a tight end. So I don't absolutely hate it. I just know for a fact that the Broncos want JJ McCarthy in the worst way.
And that, they don't have enough to go up and get him.
They can't go get him.
So, but here's the thing. At this point, they have Penix right there for him. They decide not to go Penix, and that's going to hurt him because the very next pick, Michael Penix, goes to the Raiders, and you got to love it. I mean, I think Michael Penix, so post-combine, I've got Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, and Drake May has fallen to 5 for me. Studied the tape. Oof. I don't love him. I don't love Drake May at all. Yeah, great. Is he big? Yes. Does he have a strong arm? Yes. Can he make every throw? Yes. Is he going
He's
to
He's Carson Wentz.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of QBs that have been able to do that, and just their bonehead moves are not where I'd like them to be.
Yeah, I hear you, dude. I hear you.
Bad. And yes, Penix's bad games can be mid-range bad or maybe just a little bit bad, but the throws he can make and my
opinion
are incredibly unreal.
If this is what happens, dude, he skyrockets in rookie drafts, right? Like
QB3.
He is skyrocketing at least the 10. He's probably going to 108, 107 range if he goes to the Raiders.
Well, he would go above Brock Bowers no matter what.
I don't know. There are some Bowers people that just won't be talked out of it. They just won't. Like, there are just people that will do that. And I respect it, but like I just don't invest like that into the tight end position. But this is the nuts landing spot for Penix. This is a good spot. I like this a lot.
Defense. They have a fantastic defense. Well, as far as on the line, I mean, they got a defense that can at least compete. Now, it's tough to go against Patrick Mahomes, but you know you got a dumpster fire team over there in the Broncos. So, I mean, you imagine you're going to get 2 wins a season for at least a couple years going against those jackknobs. But
I'm just saying, like right now, he's going around 203, 204. I see him as late as 206. Like that. If this happens, man, I'm telling you, he's going to skyrocket business.
Daniel Jeremiah is what we're trying to tell everybody. If Daniel Jeremiah saying the
he's NFL been accurate.
Circle that he is listening to is high, high, high on Michael Penix. The Raiders and the Broncos are sitting in an incredible place here. And this, again, could look like the biggest egg on the Broncos' face if an interdivision rival sticks at 13. Broncos choose not to go QB, and then now Penix becomes a Hall of Famer. That would be crazy, Brandon.
Yeah, so that'd be awesome.
14, Oli Fashanu goes 14 to the Saints. Quinyon Mitchell, top QB. Our cornerback goes to the Colts. Seahawks get Troy Fautanu, which seems to be the nuts landing spot for Troy Fautanu is the Seahawks under Ryan Grubb. I don't like it at all. Don't think we need to move him into guard just because. I just think it's stupid. Yeah. And but at this point, Jared Verse is off the board. Dallas Turner is off the board. So is it Latu or Fautanu? In my personal opinion, at this point, we would trade back because I'd rather Jackson Powers.
Yeah, they trade out here.
But in this mock, they don't. Jeremiah. Jaguars. Terrion Arnold at 17. This is also a option, an opportunity, it seems like. Okay, this is some talk about this, but if you wanted a good wide receiver like we're about to kind of see here, and Brian Thomas Jr., we don't know where he's going yet. We've gotten to 17, and he's still on the board. Brian Thomas Jr. seems to be the consensus next guy up right here.
Yep.
If you are the Chiefs, and one of these cornerback needy teams like the Jacksonville Jaguars want to go and they want to grab Snead from you for a first round draft pick, because I don't know if Snead's worth it or not, but let's say we can make a package like that. That would be a nice spot for the Chiefs to come up and grab Brian Thomas Jr. But Cincinnati Bengals at 18, J.C. Latham, Rams at 19, Laiatu, Steelers at 20, go Tyler Guyton, 21, Miami Dolphins, Graham Barton, Philadelphia Eagles, 22, go Nate Wiggins, and here it goes. Okay, so at 23, the Cardinals select Brian Thomas Jr. So now you're looking at it, Brandon. They give up Marvin Harrison Jr., which we thought was absolutely crazy that they did that. And they got 11 and 23. And at 11, they went with Jared Verse. And at 23, they got Brian Thomas Jr. And we talked about it. They probably get one more first round draft pick here. So you got to think that might be enough to be okay with trading out of the Marvin Harrison Jr. sweepstakes if it fell like that.
If it fell like that, but I think Brian Thomas is going to be a top 15 pick. I just think he's
so interesting to see, right? I mean,
like,
we don't
like, know. I just think he's going to, but this is a great spot. Like I said, we need an X wide receiver. This is a good one. Brian Thomas Jr. exploded last year with 17 touchdowns there. Had one more than Malik Nabers. One hell of explosive player, dude. Is super fast, runs in the 4.3s, and is a complete wide receiver, dude. Kyler Murray needs a weapon like this, and I would love it. I wouldn't hate it.
Brian Thomas Jr.,
you could argue, Brian, if this is the way it goes, Brian Thomas Jr. is wide receiver 3.
Over Rome. So you're saying over basically Rome. Over Rome. Yeah, I mean, the landing spots are definitely 100% a factor here. And if Brian
Thomas Jr. I would even think about it for Nabers. But we got to understand what the pedigree of people got to understand the pedigree of Brian Thomas Jr. is. The fact is this, is when that he was recruited to LSU, he was the number one recruit, not Nabers. And they swapped spots coming out of into the pros. Nabers is now viewed as the better wide receiver, but Brian Thomas coming out of high school was the guy. And so he's got good pedigree. This guy is an all-star prospect. This is literally one of the best wide receiver draft classes of all time. It's going to go down as such. And I would argue, just because of the sheer opportunity of playing with Kyler and being the X in that offense, good night, man. That's a heck of a value.
Yeah, we're watching a little bit of the combine stuff here on the webpage. We'll probably get taken down for it. I don't care. But, you know, that is, and we'll go to a couple of these here, Brandon, but you see this across the middle here. You'll watch it.
The gauntlet drill, baby.
This one right here, you'll see him.
Yes.
Drops it. Okay, you'll see another one drop.
That was a bad throw by Rattler.
That's okay. But this one, good pass.
That should be not happening. Yeah. But I'm just saying, this guy has the ability to be, but Malik is special too, dude. That's what I'm saying. Like, LSU is kind of like when Jefferson and Chase were at the same team. We just didn't know that Jefferson and Chase were Jefferson and Chase. You know, we didn't realize what they would be.
So essentially, what you're saying is that Brian Thomas Jr. is going to end up being a Justin Jefferson type player because you already have Nabers, who you're imagining is the de facto number one highlight guy. And then that number two guy, that Justin Jefferson. You know, the thing about Brian Thomas Jr., and you saw him drop a couple passes there, but let's be real, his game is a downfield threat. He is a downfield threat. He is perfect for what the Cardinals want to do. And to get Kyler, I mean, geez, Kyler is a DGAF QB in my personal opinion, especially when he locks on his guys. So, I mean, I love that. And it's really good for fantasy and it's shaping up. I mean, we got right there. Brock Bowers, in my personal opinion, should be going somewhere in the 8, you know, if we're smart. But I don't know. We'll see. Daniel Jeremiah's got a, like I said, he said it was going to be
spicy. Dude, he's been nailing it as of late. He had exact picks of the Texans and the trade up last year with Will Anderson. He had that. Nobody else had that in the media. Daniel Jeremiah is a real deal. I listen to this guy a lot.
Pick 24, Dallas Cowboys, Jackson Powers Johnson. Great pick there. 25, Packers, Mims, Amarius Mims. The guy's like 6'8", 300 pounds. He's amazing. He was probably a top five prospect coming out last year. But into this year, he lost a little bit of steam. That's okay. Still a lot of upside. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Darius Robinson there.
Look, there's the extra pick too. 27, Cardinals.
Yeah, well, they already have that pick. Yeah. So
they're going to have three in the first round, dude. They're addressing at the premier spots in the draft, too. And
Byron Murphy there at pick 27 for the Cardinals ain't no joke. I mean, you got Jared. In this mock, you'd end up with Jared Verse, Byron Murphy, Brian Thomas Jr., and likely another first-round pick or at least some other.
Something next year.
Something, yeah. You know. So that would be great for them. I mean, they're in a little bit of a rut right now as well. So Buffalo Bills, they pass the pass catcher here. They go Jerzon Newton, and he's a dominant D tackle on the inside. I love him. I wish I could have a little bit of him. He played at Illinois with Witherspoon. The juice apparently is there with him. I'd like to get him in Seattle, but goes to the Buffalo Bills here. Detroit Lions go Kool-Aid McKinstry at 29. If that actually happens, I'll buy into it because I like what they're doing there in Detroit. And Brian Branch from Alabama as well. So if that happens, good. Baltimore Ravens get Cooper DeJean. That's an easy pick there. Fit seems to be a Baltimore Raven defender. San Francisco 49ers go Chop Robinson, high upside pass rusher if it happens. But here's the pick right here. 32 overall, Kansas City Chiefs. They lay back, they wait, they strike. Add A.D. Mitchell.
Oh, pick 32.
So let's review let's go real quick through Daniel Jeremiah. We'll do a mock ourselves. Okay. Caleb goes one. Okay. Let's be spicy, Brandon.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's fine. Okay? Yeah. I'll do a little mock here. I'm telling you.
Okay. I'll pick one then. I'll go Caleb. One going to the Bears. Your pick here.
Two would be JJ McCarthy.
Ooh. Okay. Two would be JJ McCarthy going to the Vikings at four. Three, in my opinion, we're going to go spicy here. Malik Nabers going to the Giants at three. And you never imagine being at four with the selection of any of the remaining quarterbacks or Marvin Harrison at four. And that's how
it would be Marvin. That's as far as he goes. It's Marvin.
Okay. Marvin Harrison Jr. at four to the New York Jets. At pick five. And then this one is the weird one where if you need the QB, I think you got to take him here because, you know,
you got to do
Kunze,
it.
The other picks were later in the first round. So you got to go here. At this point, I'm going to go upside with Jaden Daniels at five, going to the Patriots at three.
Oh my God. Okay. And then I'm going Michael Penix. I think the spot's so good.
Penix at six to the Raiders later on. Now that means you almost have to go Drake May at seven to the Commanders.
Yep.
Seven. Wow. Okay. And then continue on.
This is super flex. This is super flex, baby.
You got pick eight.
Pick eight would be I would take Brian Thomas Jr. over
Brian Rome. Thomas Jr. at pick eight going oh my gosh. All right. Then I would have, I mean, jeez. I don't know. I'd have to go A.D. Mitchell at nine, I think.
Yeah.
Because Rome may get a couple years to develop behind two guys versus Rashee Rice. I think A.D. Mitchell has a chance to go ahead of Rashee Rice. That's at nine, and there's a top 10 receiver in the draft and not even selected here. Pick 10, your pick.
That's Rome.
Okay, Rome at 10, going nine overall to the Bears. And then 11, I mean, it's a perfect sweet spot for a tight end in the first round.
This is where it's appropriate. Yes.
Yep, 11. That's pick 11. Now we're at pick 12. There's no more first rounders on the board.
No more first rounders on
you're
the board.
You're gonna have to you know, find it out here for us here. Pick 12. What do you think here to end the first round? No more first rounders in real NFL.
I think Keon Coleman goes to the Panthers, top of the second. So,
and you think that, because I would probably challenge you there, and I would say wherever Bo Nix ends up in that second round, because let's say that he ends up. Geez, I'm trying to think here in that second round. I mean, who's trading up with the Panthers to get Bo Nix? You think?
I don't know. The Denver Broncos could do it in the second round.
So that would be what it is. The Broncos go Bo Nix.
I'm in the second round with Bowers.
Yeah, I'm going Bo Nix in 12. Bo Nix at 12.
It'll be Bo Nix. Yeah. But, I mean, it just shows. That's why we went through this. Like, we think we know what's going to happen with values of players and all this garbage. But, like, if this is really the way it happens, like, there's so much value change in my mind. Because of coaching staffs, talent around said player, quarterbacks. Penix hasn't been going in the first round at all in mocks, in a lot of mocks. And now he's all of a sudden going what? What 16? 16, right? To Oakland?
13.
So 13. Wherever Oakland went. He went to Oakland.
Top 15 and pick.
That's a top 15 draft cap for Penix, dude. So that means you got to respect him at a different way.
With a legit wide receiver one in Davante Adams.
Yes.
A legit wide receiver two.
And they imagine if they go get, let's say, a Tez Walker to pair. And Tez Walker can learn from one of the greatest route runners in the league. And we can have Adams and Tez together with a Penix.
Or Jamal Baker or Jermaine Burton.
Jermaine Burton could do it too. He's that guy too, down deep. But I'm just saying, like, that. We don't have a clue what the value is. Let's keep an open mind. Do not get lockstep into thinking this is how it's all going to go down. Because I'm going to be so heartbroken when Marvin Harrison Jr. isn't a Cardinal, if this is all true. Like, if this is the way it goes. So, like, I got to prepare myself as well. I've kind of been a little bit stagnant with my picks. So this is a good punch in the face to go, hey, Daniel Jeremiah saying, there's going to be some major shakeup in this draft, and it's going to be one of those drafts to remember. So I'm excited.
I love this little exercise here. I mean, this was it felt like this one right here was probably the most excited I've been about a mock draft in quite some time, because these could be, I mean, and this is what happened last year. You know, you felt you loved a lot of guys until they started dropping on landing spots that you really didn't.
Right.
You really didn't love. You know, no one absolutely went nuts when CJ landed on the Texans. Like,
nope.
Nobody went nuts when that happened. And now you love it. But that was about probably the only one where you ended up liking it. You know, Will Levis probably ended up being okay. Anthony Richardson got injured. Now you're still on the fence about him, but he's still a high-end asset. But there's a lot of picks that went down last year where you absolutely were like, dang it, you know, we were almost there. we were so close.
I wish Jackson Smith and Jigba went to somewhere where he could actually be a wide receiver one instead of being a depth wide receiver right now. It's just – when you get buried like that, it kills the draft cap of those players, and that could happen to Aroma Dunze. That could totally happen to Aroma Dunze at 9 if he goes to the Bears. But it's just a fun exercise. I'm glad we did this one. It's just fun because DJ is the man at this, and if he thinks 4 straight quarterbacks, come on, man, we got to talk about it.
Yeah, that's great. So, all right. Well, for Brandon, Adam, I am Flex Matt. Please go to DFSArmy.com. Become a member. Win life-changing money. Brandon, life-changing money. I'd love to win that money myself, but I can't bet in Washington State because of the dumb laws. But that will not be a thing in 4 to 5 years. I'm sure of it. potentially sure of it, but I had fun here tonight. For everybody, tune in. We have another show coming this week.
This Sunday, baby. Shane's back.
Shane's back. Until then, we will catch you on the flip side. Big time. Knowing that.